All right, we're going to be reading from Matthew 15, and I have 1 through 9 there. We're going to go ahead and go through 20. The whole thing belongs together, but I got overwhelmed this week. I was going to split it into two, so we'll see. But I want to go ahead and read 1 through 20 this morning from Matthew. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that whoever tells father or mother, 'Whatever support you might have had from me is given to God,' then that person need not honor the father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. You hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.'" Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out through the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now that school's started back, it got me thinking about some of my school days, and specifically about test taking. I know I don't like to bring it up either, but it was on my mind this week. And when I was in school, I used to love multiple choice tests. I loved multiple choice tests because I had a 1 in 4 chance of getting it right. It was great. I had a chance. That's what always made me happy. But I also liked them because, you know, with multiple choice tests, you just really got to, you know, remember the information just long enough to maybe where you can recognize it. And then after that, it might stick around, it might not. Guess what? For me, it usually did not. But there was something about those kind of tests where you just needed to know the facts and may or may not really have needed to know a deeper comprehension of the material. But of course, that changed when I went to college. Not right away when I went to college, but I ended up taking a class in college, a chemistry course called quantitative analysis. If it sounds hard, it was hard. and it was hard not just because the class was hard, but because the professor, he liked to do this thing where he would call on people. I mean, every question he asked, he'd call on a random person. And you never knew when it was going to be your number to be called on. And not only that, he also would like to say, "Okay, great, tell me why." And I used to hate that question. In fact, I did my own science experiment in that class, which was see where I could sit where he would call on me the least. Never found out the result of that experiment. Never worked for me. And in fact, the very end of the course, I had to take a practical lab exam with him. And it was just me and him, every student, just one-on-one with that professor, where you had to do every experiment in front of him while he sat there and graded you and told you what you, you know, did right or did wrong. And it was so stressful. But let me tell you what, by the end of that class, I knew what I was talking about. Now, 15 years later, not so much, so don't quiz me now. But I remember thinking that I was so prepared because of the thoroughness by which he really tested my knowledge, but really got the most out of me. He required more from me than just the standard tests required. And as I thought about that this week, and I thought about this passage, You know, we see Jesus here have this interaction with the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law. And he during this interaction, he leads them to be thinking about how following him, how following God requires something more. It requires a deeper comprehension of understanding who God is and understanding who we are. He emphasizes how following him leads to an inside-out gospel commitment rather than an outward religious life. An inside-out gospel commitment with our hearts rather than a religious lifestyle. And as we look at our text this morning, we see immediately, Jesus was always, he always was getting in trouble with those religious leaders. And here specifically, they come and they ask him a question about washing hands. And now Jesus, Mary, his mom, she raised Jesus right. This isn't talking about hygiene. You know, Jesus isn't saying, forget that hygiene. And again, in our corona days, don't forget to wash your hands. That's not what Jesus is saying here. But Jesus didn't make his disciples wash hands before they eat. And the religious leaders, when they would bring this up, they brought this up because they believed that washing hands was an important process in getting rid of all the things that defile you. It was about purity, not hygiene. And so in their time, they think about the Old Testament laws, such as the things that could make you impure or defile you, things such as touching a dead body or an unclean person, someone that has leprosy or a bleeding problem, or being around a non-Jew who maybe would have eaten food that wasn't kosher, wasn't clean, or things like that. The Pharisees and the religious leaders had taken something, it was talking about purity, and they expanded it a huge way. Washing hands is not mentioned in the Old Testament, but they built on some of these laws, and they went further and further, all based on this belief that what matters is our outward purity. Our outward purity. They had this idea of holiness that was focused on that, and as we'll talk more about, they completely miss the point of what really godly purity is all about. And Jesus, of course, he doesn't have his disciples do that. And in fact, he comes back at them with another question. He says in verses 3 through 5, he says, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever speaks evil of father and mother must surely die. But you say, 'Whoever tells father or mother whatever support you might have had from me is given to God,' well, then that person doesn't need to honor the father." And what he was referring to here was this practice that at this time had become an accepted practice. Because everyone knew that God said, "Honor your parents, honor your father and mother." Everyone knew that that's what was important to God. But at this time, the honoring of parents was especially important when your parents get older. Many of y'all know that. When your parents get older, when they can't take care of themselves like they used to could, it's especially important to honor them by caring for them. With your time, with your energy, with your finances. It costs a lot to care for the people in our life as well. But what some of the religious leaders of the day were doing was this. They allowed people to make a vow to God to mark or to tag some of their resources as belonging to God. And that way, they didn't have to give them to their parents when they needed them. So technically, they'd make this vow. So their parents would come up to them and they'd say, "Look, I'm sorry, Mom or Dad. These things I've been given, they're going to God. I can't give them to you." And then even some of the religious leaders of this day would actually allow them to then make a payment to the temple or make a payment to the religious leader and take care of that vow. That's pretty slimy, if you ask me, to set aside something as belonging to God so you can not pay it to your parents who are in need. And Jesus knows this, and he catches them on it. If you didn't know any better, that might look good on the surface. Oh, I'm giving my resources to God. I'm so committed to God that I'm giving them my resources. But in reality, you were neglecting what God wanted from you. It looks good on the outside, but on the inside, the motives of the heart are all wrong. And Jesus here sees the motives and the intentions of the heart. He sees the why behind everything that we do. and he always calls that into question. He calls them hypocrites who outwardly put on a show of caring about God, but inwardly are really missing the point. And Jesus here is teaching us that sometimes our traditions and our religious practices can actually prevent us from experiencing the power and the truth of God's Word. Because the way of Jesus, the way of following Jesus, the way of knowing Him and experiencing the power of the kingdom of God is always focused on transforming our hearts first and then our outward behavior, and not the other way around. We remember that biblically the heart is the source of our motives and our desires, among other things. And as I tried to connect earlier, it's the difference between really maybe just having a surface level of the material and a deeper comprehension of what God desires from us and what God cares about. And the question that we have to wrestle with is, are we putting on an outward religious behavior when really our hearts are not in it? And here's the thing, we confuse these two all the time. And here's one of my favorite ways we confuse this. You know how many times people come to me and we'll be talking within Brush Hill here, within the church building, and they'll say, oh, I better not say that about that person because we're in a church. I better not say that word because we're in a church. Confusing a holy location with a holy heart, a holy inner purity. That's one of my favorite things that people say. Or when I tell them I'm a pastor, then, oh, I'm sorry I said those things. As if what matters is the outward, you know, profession that I have versus your inward heart that is your motives behind saying those things. I think about how sometimes we care more about a Bible hitting the floor than it hitting home in our hearts. We get more offended maybe when someone does that, regardless of whether it means anything to us and is changing our life. Or we care more about being seen as a giving person rather than actually giving. Or what about political leaders of either party caring more about making sure people know they're a Christian to get votes rather than actually following Christ or having policies that follow Christ? And in today's time, in today's world, we live with this online presence that is just as real for many of us as our actual presence. How many of us see things online or see the way that people present themselves online and maybe know that it doesn't quite match up with who they are on the inside or who we know them to be? And the thing I think Jesus is getting at is that when it's innocent, religion at the very least can just miss the point. Like the importance of washing hands to get rid of impurity and miss out on what truly matters to God. But when religion's at its worst, it can turn traditions into things that it can turn things that hide the true motives that might not be so good, like we see the Pharisees doing here. It can be used as a way of concealing hidden selfish motives that bring harm to others and have no real intention of following God. And that's why Jesus' quote here of Isaiah 29:13 is so powerful. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Y'all, we can present so many things to the outside world, but God sees through all that and judges by the heart. And if that's scary to you, it's a little scary to me too. Because sometimes we can be really good at even fooling ourselves. And people can call us out on that sometimes. And it can be a little frightening. To everyone who saw the religious leaders of Jesus' day washing their hands before eating, or praying loudly in public, or making a show of giving their money or their time, they must have looked so righteous, so good. But it was all outward focused and not based on an inner commitment to God. And that's why I think religious people a lot of times can make us feel so bad about ourselves. Because they tend to look at surface behavior and never get to the heart. They care more about the clothes we wear to church, whether it's the nicest suit or whether it's a casual outfit, Or they look at what's covering our skin, the tattoos we have, or the lack of tattoos we have. I've been there as well, where people have looked at me and said, you don't quite belong here. People like that also look at the company we keep rather than the way in which we're influencing that company. And the thing that I think Jesus sees us or is trying to get at this morning is, where is your heart in when it comes to God? Are you concerned? Do you find yourselves being more concerned with outer behavior or the inner commitment to the Lord, the inner commitment to Jesus? God knows that our hearts can be far from Him. In fact, if the story of the Bible is actually looking at people whose heart is far from God, and the good news about God is that He sees all of our talk, all of our attempts to draw close on our own, and He recognizes how those always will fall short. And that's why God closes the distance between us through Christ. The beautiful thing about Jesus is He's like that good friend who's not just polite, who not just says that when we find ourselves in need, whatever you need, I'll come and be there, and then doesn't actually show up. Jesus is more than just lip service to us. And He's teaching us that true love, true inner motivation to follow Him comes from a loving relationship. It comes from having your heart plowed up and made new and knowing His love for you. Because when it comes to Jesus, Jesus, we see in the Scriptures, was willing to give His whole life for us. When Jesus was on the cross, when He was crucified by those same religious people, they thought there's no way in the world that God would be on a cross. There's no way in the world that God's appearance would be that of a man who was killed, of a man who was convicted, of a man who was on the cross dying. And yet that's exactly where Jesus was. The true character of God is genuine and pure and not afraid of the cost of a loving relationship. You know, and that's why having friends is so hard. Because having a true friend costs you something, right? Showing up and being there for people, it costs a lot from us. It's more than just a surface thing. How many of us have plenty of surface relationships where it seems really nice, but when rubber meets the road, maybe they don't show up when they need to show up? But a true, genuine relationship based on love, it costs something from us. And in fact, when it comes to us and God, it costs more than we can pay. But the good news is that Jesus has done that for us. That Jesus looks past all appearances, He looks past all outer behavior, He looks past all those things, and instead offers you His heart, so that yours can be made new by His Spirit. When we're saved, it's God's Spirit becoming one with our own. And when that happens, it starts doing something within you. You don't no longer care about where you are. You no longer care about talking bad about in a church or wherever in the supermarket, because what matters isn't the place. What matters is the person. You see them through God's eyes. You don't want to disobey God when no one's around, because you know that God is with you the whole time. In fact, last week, I had a moment where I was walking my dog, and as we were walking by someone's mailbox, it got caught on one of their letters, and it pulled it off. And for a moment, I looked around, and I thought, no one saw this. I could keep going, and then immediately, the Holy Spirit was right there and saying, I see it. Where's your heart? Are you concerned with this show that only matters when people are watching? Or do you recognize that I'm always with you and that you belong to me? And my friends, when you know that you belong to God and you know that He has given everything for you, it shuts down whatever show you put on. It allows you to be vulnerable with people and say, I don't have it all right. I do care more about how people see me rather than how God sees me. And I don't want that anymore. Because when you know how God sees you, when God looks on you, it matters far more than anything else. And I pray this morning that we would see Jesus' words here. And as we look on this further next week, that we would see that it's not It's not the things outside us that are really the problem. The problem is that we need to be made new from the inside out. And so I hope when people come through our doors, regardless of maybe how they look or how they act, regardless of maybe they're not as squeaky clean as maybe a few of us appear, that we would remember that all of us on the inside have things that God is working on. That God is working on us and He's committed to it no matter what it cost Him, because He's paid that cost through Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. God, I pray you'd give us eyes through your Spirit. Lord, that you would recognize and see, help us to see all the ways in which we care more about things on the outside than things on the inside. God, we care more about outward appearances, whether it's our behavior or what we look like, God, or what people think when they see us, and we care far too little about our inner heart. God, we're thankful this morning that Jesus, that our God, was willing to go to the cross and die alone, die naked and bleeding, that He was not concerned about His appearance at all. But rather, He was concerned that we know that He loves us, that He has forgiven us, and that He will make us new through His Spirit, no matter the cost. God, I pray that we all might know that relationship. God, that we would care more about that relationship than any others. God, that you would transform our hearts. That you would help us to wash our hearts through prayer and through seeking you through your word rather than any sort of outward thing. God, we pray that you'd make us new this morning and that you would shine the light of your glory within us. Thank you so much for your example. Thank you so much for your gift. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. As we sing our final hymn this morning, I just want to encourage you all to be mindful of the ways in which God is encouraging you to maybe shut down all the image management that you've been doing. Maybe shut down your marketing department a little bit and just let God see and know the real you. That you might allow your brothers and sisters in Christ to come and to know the real you and to join together with you and pray for you and be there with you. Because God's not concerned with what we're presenting on the outside. He's concerned about the inside. And if you're exhausted by keeping up appearances, just know that you can feel safe in the arms of our God. Let's worship.